WWBC Coco, Merritt Island, 1510 AM, as well as W234BI Coco, Rockledge, 94.7 FM, W264AS, Rockledge, Melbourne, Palm Bay, Indian Atlantic, Indian Harbor Beach, Satellite Beach, 100.7 FM, and W260CL, Coco, 99.9 FM.
Hello, space and treasure coast. This is Sita Begee on Viewpoint with Sita and Friends, right here in sunny Coco, Florida. It's a bit frigid, but we're still having a great day. Awesome to just be alive and well and be able to host a very fun, unscripted, educational, and very informative show right here on AM 1510 WWBC, FM 94.7, FM 99.9, FM 100.7, and online everywhere on WWBC. All you have to do is hit the on-demand. You could hit listen live, and there you are. You can listen to our show worldwide on the web, on the World Wide Web. And, of course, today my co-host Ellen O'Neill got a flat tire. She's not here. She may join us early later on in the broadcast. And, of course, Allie, my friend Allie, who always sits with us, Allie Tambor, Ellen's friend and our resident intern, like we like to say, our guest, is not here as well. But Viewpoint with Sita and Friends will continue with Danny, who's running our board. Hi, Danny. Thank you so much, and thank you for running the board for us. We have an action-packed show today. Today's Martin Luther King Day. It's a day about positivity. It's a day that people should remember the dream of Dr. Martin Luther King and not just recite the speech about the dream, but move forward and do something about the dream. Mentor a child. Step up in your community. Maybe read in an elementary school if you have time. Join a nonprofit. Do something for the young people so that we can leave a better footprint behind for the next generation. My guest today is awesome. My good friend Allie Kumara is here, and she's going to be on the second segment with her friend Ellie. I can never say your last name.
Villafuerte.
Villafuerte. So you can say hi to our listening audience on Viewpoint with Sita and Friends.
Hey, what's up?
They're so shy. And before we speak with Allie and Ellie, your guys' names are very similar. My good friend, Dr. Karen Green, is going to be calling in. She is Reverend Dr. Karen Green. She's a good friend of mine. I like to say a Caribbean sister. And we're going to speak a little bit later when she calls in about why today is important and why we should all stay engaged and involved in our communities. Not just because it's Martin Luther King Day, but year-round. I think we've got her on the phone. We'll go to her in a minute. But in the meantime, Allie, thank you for being here. And Ellie, thank you for being here.
Absolutely.
And we're going to chat a little bit later about you all. It's nice to have young people in the studio because our future is, we're paving the way for you guys. Whether it's business, whether it's politics, whether it's writing a book, whether it's sharing our life experience, it's all for you guys. And I like to say on Viewpoint with Sita and Friends that we use our life experience, our history, our education, our culture, the people that came before us here on our show so that we can promote a positive vibe and send out positive connections and just network with people that give back to our community. And one such person is on the phone, and she's my friend, Reverend Karen Green, Dr. Karen Green. Thank you for taking the time to call in on Viewpoint with Sita and Friends, Dr. Green.
Good afternoon, listening to my beloved sister, Sita and Friends. Thank you again for being with me. It's time to be here, especially today, on this, as we're speaking to our young people, the legacy of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. and what he stood for. And I'm so blessed to be here with you this afternoon to share with your audience and just for us to continue to educate and to facilitate the ones coming behind us. God bless you.
Thank you for taking the time today. I know you're busy as well. And I was just saying to our listening audience that Viewpoint with Sita and Friends is a fun, a very unscripted show. And we give out valuable information to people who are listening, whether it's talking about financial literacy, whether someone wrote a book, whether we want to do something about the Indian River Lagoon. And I think on such a day like today, we want to talk today with you, Dr. Green, about guidance for youth, people mentoring each other, and the importance of staying engaged in our communities and involved, not just today, but year-round, in that people should vote. They should know what's going on in their communities. They should know who their elected representatives are and what they're doing for each other. I don't think it's enough to say, I have a dream. It's more to say, I have a dream, but what am I going to do with this dream? So let's chat a little bit. Tell our listening audience a little bit about yourself.
Well, again, I must take this from you for a certain time. I commend you on the dedication you've had over the years I've known you, almost a decade, and you have not dissuaded or strayed from your responsibility of civic engagement, and thank you for that collaboration. I'm Karen Green, and many of you know I have served as, my recent tenure was the Democratic Congressional nominee for District 7, a seat that I won in the primary, and was blessed to have had the entrusted by the votes of the people in the district. I've also served as the Vice Chair of the Florida Democratic Party, Cabinet Coalition Director, the whip of presidential candidates, Secretary Clinton, President Obama, and President Joe Biden. My role here today, however, is to expound on what you just mentioned, that we need to take the responsibility of mentorship beyond where we are today. We heard quotations of Dr. Martin Luther King, but one that you have exemplified, and one of my favorites, is the one where it speaks of the ultimate measure of a man is not where he stands in moments of comfort and convenience, but where he stands at times of the challenges and controversy. You know, so many times we talk about Martin Luther King's dream, but in reality, we have to make that a realization. I have had the blessing of living in the state of Florida for almost over 30 years, and I have been an activist, an advocate. My faith is my foundation. I currently, up until the new chair is brought in, we'll talk more about that. But I've also led the faith-based initiative as a national contributor to the White House engagement. My role right now is truthfully to make sure that democracy is upheld, freedom is protected, the rights of every American who has a dream like I am. People like you, we both hail from what is known as the Caribbean Basin, the third gateway to America. And as an immigrant, I am one who is advocating for the fact that we all are here to continue this journey. So that's about me.
Yes, and you are one of those people, one of the people in my life, the human being in my life that have demonstrated what leadership really is. And as a fellow Caribbean sister, I applaud you too for going the extra mile. Every time I see you, you're smiling. And you're giving back, and you're mentoring, and I could see the people that came before you in your smile, in your face, and right there, you are sharing your culture, your heritage, your education, your faith, and I am just blessed to be your friend as well, Dr. Green. So moving forward, let's talk about this word guidance, because you know, Colin Powell once said that one of the things that's lacking in the United States today in so many communities is one thing, and I was trying to figure out what does he mean, and then he paused and he said it's guidance for our youths. So let's expand a little bit on that word, because so many times we hear people talking about a politician should go into a community, they should talk to the community, they should do this, they should encourage people to vote. But a lot of those people are not doing what Colin Powell said. You expand on that word for me, please.
You know, I'm honored to have the opportunity to expound on another fellow Caribbean generation brother. You know, Colin Powell also hails from, historically from the island of Jamaica, where I was born, like you from the Caribbean. And I think it also has, his notion of guidance is really where it starts. It starts in the family. It starts, you know, we have this old cliche, it takes a village. But first and foremost, it starts with the mother and the father. It starts from the guidance of teachers and your children. It's education, it's literacy, and it's the collaboration of a community of goodwill. And so, to expand on what I believe guidance is in his terms, is what we have been doing, my sister. The entire, I believe, you know, we talk about the party I represent, and I know this show is a nonpartisan show, but one of the definitions of the Democratic Party is the big tent. And the big tent basically means you include everyone, you evangelize, you engage, you communicate. I think part of what is lacking in this society today is really the place where we need to go back, incentivize our teachers, get into civic knowledge, faith teaching is not just necessarily about religion, but about culture and practices, and be a mentor. One of the big things I've come to know in this society too, and one of the things that I believe the Republicans have strived and mastered, is there is a process of succession. And guidance means you pull someone else with you, you tell people of your failed experiences and or your successes. And that is where I believe his point was, and well taken.
That's correct. You know, we often say the foundation for everything starts at home. And oftentimes we hear people make a lot of, and it's true, they'll say, well, some people don't have a home. Some people don't have mentors. But you know what? I think there are people today who is probably listening to our show, people you and I have come across in our travels all over the state of Florida, that can step up today on Martin Luther King's Day and mentor a child, read in a school, join the League of Women Voters, do something. I think that it's not enough to say that child doesn't have a foundation. We are the foundation. We're a village after all. And I think that's where it starts. Wouldn't you agree?
I also want to explain, I totally agree with you. And I know there are many of us who the family structure might not be identical to others. But success and environment and social graces go way beyond the immediate family you have. For example, Martin Luther King, the church played a major role in the South where he pastored. And so we need to find leaders among us. My first mentor, Sita, was my elementary school. In our society, it was a prep school. My teacher, who was from British Honduras then, which is now Belize, was my teacher, my mentor, who said to me at age maybe 6 or 7, and within that time frame, you are a leader. You have to identify your strengths and move towards those goals. My sister, this is where I think we are. I think teachers need to be recognized. I think the household, not only that, we have neighbors, even in the workforce. You see your co-workers who are struggling. You know they're either single parents or in abusive relationships. You know that these children in school may be wearing the same shoes to school for the entire semester. We have a responsibility, as Martin Luther teaches, to be our brother's keeper, our sister's holder, and just care. Just be humanitarians at will. So, yes.
I wish you were able to say that and add the last few years, because a lot of us found that certain people in the Florida Democratic Party, and I'm just saying that as a Democrat myself, of course, I'm very moderate. And I'm one of those people that's able to see both sides of an issue. I'm neither far left nor far right. I'm right smack in the middle. But messaging is very important. And a lot of us felt as though when certain people were saying the word socialism, a lot of us felt like, wait a minute, you need to just calm down, because there is no socialism. What there are taxes that are paid for social programs, like taking care of the environment, a public education, healthcare, making sure we have roads, making sure we have law enforcement, making sure we can put resources into community. So stop saying the word socialism in a negative way. Start saying social programs. And when you speak in a way that people can understand, and you message things properly. Where do you think the Democratic Party lost the messaging for socioeconomic programs to be seen and heard?
That's the question that I am so blessed you asked. You know, the idea that social services is really something that is of a communistic approach is where the misinformation was. And you know that I'm in the belly of the beast in most cases on Fox clarifying those misnomers. The truth is, America, one of the founding programs we have to secure each and every American having worked in the society is Social Security. That is a social service. There's no modern country in the world that does not provide social services for their citizens, be it homelessness, be it medical, be it social housing. I mean, it is by far education, housing, and health is a primary obligation. My apology, is a primary obligation of every society that is developed, right?
Yes.
So we missed it because what has happened is people don't understand the size and the demographic and geographic location of Florida. If we're almost three states in one, South and Central and North Florida, there is a demographic, almost a geographic colony almost, where we have Hispanics from Cuba, Nicaragua, and South and Central America living in South Florida. And then you come to Central Florida where we have American citizens from Puerto Rico and otherwise. You could go across the state. But my point is that when people have lived an experience of radicalism, which they know to be dictatorship countries in communist dictatorship, Venezuela, Cuba, etc., they are traumatized by anything that would basically seem familiar with that. What we missed in messaging, in my opinion, is that we needed to have had people denouncing capitalism and freedom versus having people to be dissuaded by the fears of what they're coming from. And so I have long been that person, as you know, in the wilderness crying out.
I think, you know, like we all of us collectively need to say, you know, we are fighting for civil liberties. We're fighting for immigrants' exactly. rights. We're fighting for minority yes. communities. We're fighting for women's rights. We're fighting for youth development, for religious freedom, for the freedom of speech, for women to have a say about their bodies and their lives. And I think where we missed it, you're absolutely correct. It's just going to the communities where people came to America and who are fearful of communism and socialism and say, wait a minute, you are using the roads. Your children mm-hmm. are going to public schools. Your aunt, your uncle, your grandparents on Medicaid. These are social mm-hmm. programs that the taxpayers right. are paying for. So whereas you came from a country where the government mismanaged your money and did not provide those services, the great United States is. So I do think it was a messaging thing. But I just want to say, Dr. Green, that I think my belief anyways, if Dr. Martin Luther King was alive today, he would still be fighting for equality and economic opportunity. He would still be fighting for voting rights. He would still be fighting against those that gerrymandered certain areas so that they could win a vote. Don't you think Dr. King would still be fighting for those things and more?
I'm so happy you even said that, because the reality is what Martin Luther King fought for was equality, racial injustice, and the protection of freedom for all of us who came to this great country, who were, in most cases, black folks were the only immigrants who came who were not compensated. And I say compensation because we all came here, black, brown, we all worked for what we've accomplished. This is the country of dreams. And so to answer your question, as much as we've excelled and we've made a lot of civil rights advancements, voting rights, etc., Martin Luther King would still not be accepted in many of these environments we are in. You know, we talk about affirmative action, which is now, as you can see, is almost being questioned in the Supreme Court. So we have made a lot of strides. Black people are now on our social media, our television. You know, a lot of people are traumatized still because, you know, I can say it freely because of the freedom of speech I have. I believe that even the cliche that the former president, prior to Joe Biden, the notion of making America great again was really a racial prejudicial statement. And my point is, yes to your question, Martin Luther King recognized for his civil justice, his freedom and his peace rights and his peace maneuvering, applied his faith and his decency, and he did propel advances. But the reality is, today, he would still be facing the challenges we face particularly here in Broward County, in the state of Florida, and across this great nation again, because we're right back where we started. In all honesty, we still don't have, as much as we have people who have educated themselves, freed themselves, become economic wealth, you know, applied wealth and sovereignty, we still have a way to go, my sister.
So for our listeners who are tuning in, we're speaking with my good friend, Reverend Dr. Karen Green, we're chatting a little bit about voting rights, why it's important to stay engaged in your communities, and what a great day today is, Dr. Martin Luther King Day, to speak about such things. But you know, Dr. Green, if Dr. Martin Luther King was alive today, he would still be pushing back against attacks on teaching critical race theory. He would still be opposing attacks on those that use the woke ideology. And he would still be fighting racism and discrimination, because all of us collectively, black and brown people, we are seeing it in very veiled terms, and we are seeing it in institutions. And a lot of us who try to push back were being told, you have to be very careful what you say, how you say it. Our messaging has to be toned down a bit, because people do feel as though something is going on in this country and they're not sure what it is. But I can say that, you know, I believe that in order to fix whatever undertones we're feeling, we all have to come together and unite as one. How do we do this? Because Dr. King is not here to do it. We have to follow up on what he would have done.
I think we need to continue to look for the leaders in our community who represent our values. I think the fear of what happened with the insurrection has also put a lot of people on back stages. And the reality is, this is real. There is a real fear and a real endangerment of what people see in our society for freedom. But let us just be clear, this country has survived major changes, and freedom has always been the founding result. So I'm suggesting, like you continue to do, be that voice. And I will dedicate my life continuously to be that unifier, to bring a medium common ground to all ideologies, and pray and ask the Lord to continue to give us wisdom as we continue to lift this country up and just pull our brothers and sisters together. Voting is essential. You cannot have an opinion. Society cannot strive. And if you fear dictatorship, and if you fear freedom, and avoid communism, you need to be able to vote for your freedom. That is my position today, my sister. You know, I'm being called to jump on another show. I want to just thank you for this opportunity, and I'm always willing to come back, as you know.
Well, you know, before you leave, my dear, I do hope that the people who are listening to our show would understand that this is the greatest country in the world, and education and opportunities are abundant. It's just up to us, the leaders in the community, to go out there and help those and mentor and guide the young people and people in our communities on how to take those opportunities and make something of themselves. But before you leave, one final question. Do you feel like the Florida Democratic Party in this last election cycle concentrated too much on the culture wars and not the economy? Because that is something that someone just texted me and said, hey, I think they concentrated too much on the culture wars, even though we have a big tent. When people go to buy eggs and it's $6 or $7 for a carton of eggs and $65 to fill your tank, that's where people are worried about. That's what they're worried about.
Your listener really applied a very good question. You know, for me, if I can go by experience, and I think I've always said this, it is not the message in most cases, it's a messenger. Because the reality is, we saw what was, because of the Ukraine war, we saw what's happening post-pandemic, that there was, in fact, what appeared to be a recession at hand. There were hardships. There were people who had lost their jobs, and there were economic homelessness. People were losing their rents. Everything was horrible. People, the breadwinner had died. And so we were genuinely facing a high gas price, all those things, rice and milk was high. One of the things I expressed in my district, which, as you know, I wanted a landslide, was being able to reach out to folks and to share that word with them, that message, that we're in this thing together. We still have to, like it was in the Great Depression, people would stop working to go make stocking. You know, everybody had to pull together. And so I agree that even though we had the Roe versus Wade controversy, we had other issues, we had the redistricting that was there, and yes, they tried to divide us with our faith and with our, you know, with our languages. The bottom line is that we have to identify what it is that is going to get us past here. We have to make sure we secure a better minimum wage, not a minimum wage, but a living wage. We want to make sure our teachers are paid. And look at the fundamentals. In 08, when President Barack Obama came in, the most diverse and the most instrumental field program ever invented, it was the initiatives, the individual topics of priorities, environment, healthcare, union rights, I mean, everything that was there individually. We have to appeal, and in response to your guest, your writer, we have to appeal to each person's needs, their priorities, and be able to send those messengers with expertise to go out and message those things. So I'm with you. I think we did miss an opportunity because we put everything in one bucket when in reality everybody has different priorities.
That's so right, and we have to listen to everybody. We cannot expect shove things down people's throat. And yes, we need to agree with the other side that certain materials for children should be age appropriate. Certain books should be age appropriate. We know from the Caribbean, we talk like it is. And a lot of the people from the islands, they tell you like it is, and they'll say, wait a minute, my pickney is small. I don't want him learning this. Wait till he get big. He will have his turn. So I think we have to listen to our friends on the other side of the aisle too, on the Republican side and on the Democratic side, and come up with a middle that fits everyone. It's about listening. We don't have to agree to everything, but we can agree to disagree at times and understand that the future are our children.
That's right. And you know more than anyone else in this industry that with your listenership as well as your involvement, that culturally most people from the Caribbean or immigrants are more conservative with values. But what everyone is everyone lives in a country that knows it's not just a one-issue maneuvering. And in most cases, people disagree with one small thing, and they agree with most things. So to your point, I think we need to get back to listening. We need to get back to prioritizing. And by doing that, engage folks that they knew who is here for them to protect their true interests and stand for their values.
Well, Dr. Green, thank you for taking the time to call in on Viewpoint with Sita and Friends. I think you and I could do 10 shows at one time together because it comes from the heart. I'm helping people, being there for community, loving the United States, and being so blessed to be on this earth. But know we have flaws, but we can fix them together if we unite as one team. It's a great feeling. Thank you. And with that, we'll go to commercial break. We'll be right back with Viewpoint with Sita and Friends with Ali Kumara and Ellie. Thank you.
Cloud 9 Mattress and Furniture is a family-owned furniture dealer featuring the best and most affordable brands. They offer all servicing for free. Delivery, setup, and home, removal of old furniture, and warranty. Work with a reputable and experienced local business as they strive for excellence with their customers. Scotty's been in the mattress and furniture business for 32 years. You can shop online, call, or stop into the showroom to place an order. They are conveniently located inside the Merritt Square Mall and service all of Brevard County and Central Florida. Super savings sale happening now. That's Cloud 9 Mattress and Furniture, 321-459-2473. Visit them on the web at cloud9furniture.com. Again, 321-459-2473 for Cloud 9.
When you need medical care and furniture, you need it fast. MedFast Urgent Care is faster and less expensive than emergency rooms. MedFast is open 7 days a week, now with 13 locations, including one in Volusia County. With so many MedFast Urgent Care centers, there is a MedFast near you. MedFast offers top quality care that is close by, and the number is easy to remember. That is 321-MEDFAST. Just call 321-MEDFAST. No one wants to wait in an emergency room for hours and get even sicker when you get the high bill. What you want is medical care fast. That's why you call MEDFAST, where most patients are seen and treated in less than an hour. So when you need medical care fast, call 321-MEDFAST.
Are you longing for a taste of Louisiana? Lizette's Cajun Bistro is the place to be. They offer Cajun and Creole staples as well as American, vegan, and vegetarian options. The restaurant is located at 2447 North Wickham Road, Unit 146. All menu items are prepared daily from scratch and made to order. Dine-in or take-out as well as outside seating. Live music on selected weekends. So the next time you have a taste for Louisiana, stop by Lizette's Cajun Bistro, 2447 North Wickham Road.
Located in Titusville, Florida, Dixie Crossroads has been serving great-tasting seafood, char-grilled steaks, prime rib, chicken, fresh salads, and their famous corn fritters for over 31 years. The menu features the very best local shrimp and fish from Port Canaveral and ranges from low-cost sandwiches and baskets to high-end seafood combos. Visit this Florida favorite at 1475 Garden Street in Titusville. That's Dixie Crossroads. 321-268-5000. 321-268-5000. Or visit them on the web at DixieCrossroads.com.
Is a certified public accounting and a registered investment advisory firm with over 30 years of productive relationships with clients. Choctaw Financial Group can assist you in meeting your accounting, tax, and business consulting and financial planning and insurance needs without expanding your internal workforce. With three locations here in Florida, here in Brevard County, Broward County, and Nassau County, contact Jotkoff Financial Group here in Brevard at 321-984-7345. Located at 1122 South Wickham Road in Melbourne, that's Jotkoff Financial Group. On the web, you'll find them at www.jotkoff, that's JOTKOFF.com. Call the professionals at
There's something special about the place
today.
We call home. It's the place we live our lives, spend time with family and friends, and make our own. At St. Francis Reflections Hospice, we consider it a privilege to care for you wherever your home may be. We put our hands, hearts, and skills into providing high-quality hospice care in your home. To learn more about how we reflect life, love, and compassion, visit www.reflectionslsc.org.
Welcome back, dear listeners. This is Sita Begee on Viewpoint with Sita and Friends. What a great first segment we had with Reverend Dr. Karen Green. We spoke a little bit about Dr. Martin Luther King and the dream. And talking about that dream here on Viewpoint with Sita and Friends on AM 1510 WWBC, FM 94.7, 99.9, 100.7, and of course we're heard online everywhere in the world on WWBC. All you do is go on our website and hit listen now. Talking about the dream, I have two young ladies. Ellie Villaforte is here and Ali Kumara, and they are my friends, and they've started something here in Melbourne, Florida called Space Swap. What a great concept for people to help the community through just donations and watching what you have at home that you're not using in good condition that another person can use. And I'm going to have my friend Ali Kumara talk to the listeners on Viewpoint with Sita and Friends a little bit about what Space Swap really is.
Thank you so much for that beautiful introduction, Sita. Thank you for having us in the studio. And that was really interesting listening to Dr. Karen Green speak before this. So again, much appreciation. So yeah, Space Swap is a local nonprofit that we started between my business partners and I, Ellie Villaforte, who is here in the studio, Shay Anderson, and I got together and we created this nonprofit to promote sustainability in the community, education on fashion pollution, and we do this advocacy through music and the arts. So we have collected a lot of volunteers who are very adamant about pushing this sustainability movement through the community, and we just keep growing and growing since I moved back here a couple years ago from California. And we're excited that there is a community here and we're able to plant our seeds and watch it grow. And yeah, what would you say, Ellie?
Absolutely. And we just keep building upon what we started with. It keeps getting deeper and it keeps getting higher. There's so much more range than we could have ever imagined with what we're doing, and it just makes so much sense. It's such a chain reaction, honestly. And
so, Ellie, you are, when I read your bio, I'm like, multimedia artist made of island and city, and you've designed arts and images for Space Swap. You are a driving force behind the image, because I know you also made one for a show, and I loved it. Talk to us a little bit about that transition from what you did in your former life and how you're incorporating that into Space Swap.
Well, I've always been an artist. I've always worked just video stuff, drawing, writing, poetry. I love conveying emotion through my art. And given a chance to work with Space Swap as an activist was such a huge step for my art and the passion that I could have for it.
Well, today on Dr. Martin Luther King's Day, when I thought about you two coming on the show, I was looking for a quote that fits Ali Kumara on her dream to open Space Swap here in Melbourne, Florida. And I found one that was so fitting. And this is from Dr. Martin Luther King. The quote says, "We must use time creatively in the knowledge that the time is always ripe to do what's right." And that's you. You came back to Satellite Beach, born and raised in Satellite Beach, Ellie, and you are giving back through your nonprofit. So let's talk a little bit. What made you decide on Space Swap? There were so many things that you could have gone into once you returned home, because you learned a lot of stuff in LA. And you came back, but you decided on this. What gave you the idea to found such a nonprofit?
So what I learned in LA was how to produce a show, how to produce on a film set. And basically what we do through our nonprofit is producing, but we're producing change. We're producing events, community charity events, so much more. And I think Space Swap just happened really naturally. Not to go too deep into the pandemic, as it's been a few years, and trying to keep things light and positive on the show, but I think a lot of people's hearts changed during that time in 2020 about the reality of the world and how short our time is on this earth and how valuable our time really is. And I think when Space Swap started, the first event, I had Ellie meet me at Pineapple Park down in O'Galley Arts District, and we had only met once before, and I told her of this idea to swap clothing and really go back to the bartering system, which to kind of get away from consumerism and consumerist habits that you see so much in America, that we are just hypnotized by through ads and all this chaos.
And buy new, buy new all the time. Yep. And my good friend Ellen O'Neill, who is my co-host, and Ali Tambra just walked in. They had a flat tire, and I'm so grateful on MLK Day to have these two precious souls here with me. They empower me and motivate me and give me so much of their energy for our show.
And this Ellen is the first time I'm hearing about Space Swap.
Oh.
And so I was like on my way here, like trying to see what you guys did, and all, and I'm a musician. So it's one of those items that it was like I was connected right away. So the art,
awesome.
The connection, I never buy new clothes anymore. I haven't bought new clothes in like 3 years. So I feel like I'm a kindred spirit. I must be part of the board somewhere and you don't even know it. But how inspiring. And it looks like it's like Rockledge Gardens is your spot, like your connection space.
The next event, right?
Okay.
So, yeah. So tell us about the next event at Rockledge Gardens.
So our next event is going to be hosted at Rockledge Gardens under the new moon, which is this Saturday, January the 21st from 6 till 10 p.m. And it's going to be really special because it takes elements of our first ever Space Swap, which is trading clothing amongst the community. And people can bring clothing to swap or donate. And upon donation, no matter how large or small your donation of clothing, we will supply a bag that you can go and fill with clothing that you find at the swap and bring it back home. And it is a free event. We'll have musicians there, Somber Mercy, Mangrove, Tomas Lopez, and Doonies. We're going to have Chaotic Neutral Collective, which Ellie here is a founding member of the Chaotic Neutral Collective, if you want to elaborate on what that is a little bit.
Yeah, we're just a collective of artists that young artists that want to create a safe space for.
I like how she said just. That's huge. That's not even a just. That's beautiful. It's amazing to here in Melbourne, Florida, to, for you to get so many people together to do what you're doing.
Yeah, we're really excited about how
it's
going.
Our show is so grateful to be part of what's happening with you all. So, Ali, you've talked a lot in person with me and through all the connections and all the things you're doing about sustainability. You've talked a lot about sustainability. How is Space Swap helping with your mission of sustainability? I mean, of course, we talked about the clothing and recycling, but what else do you see in the future that you're doing?
Yeah, so we have this lovely volunteer by the name of Catherine Avrakotos, and she studied environmental science and policy in college. And it's interesting because as we're deepening our roots, we're trying to deepen our roots in the education sector about how fast fashion is affecting us in Brevard County locally. And so some of the results that she got back and wrote on, which I'll quote her in a second, it's astonishing. So apparently, in a study, spring 2017, at three sites across from Mosquito Lagoon, researchers found that crabs contain an average of 22.7 million pieces of microplastics, while oysters contain an average of 16.5. And it's not only when these items are thrown away that they can cause damage. Apparently, synthetic textiles release microplastics when they're washed in the washing machine, and they make their way to our lagoon here and in our oceans. And so there, it's so nuanced. I mean, there's not one solution with most issues in this world, but we can continue spreading this education and attracting people like this volunteer Catherine that have these types of backgrounds in environmental science and solution-oriented people who can come up with great ideas and help us further our mission to put an end and clean up our lagoons and what's happening like across seas, just having people work in like sweatshops making our clothing, these big fast fashion brands like Shein, and people just ordering
real
so many
blood
clothes.
Sweat and tears,
literally.
Yeah, I think I'd read somewhere before out of the 100 billion garments produced each year, 92 million tons end up in the landfills.
Oh yeah.
And I think they had broken that down to how many T-shirts they found in the landfills. And I see the other Allie, Allie Tamber, shaking her head. Go for it, Allie. You have something to add.
Yeah, it shocks me with the plastics and the ocean. And I've seen now, finally, some be aware of kind of commercials saying, look at what's out there. Mm-hmm. And people with some innovative ideas of how to clean it off, you know, different kinds of engineering machines that are not wasting lots of other energy itself, but being able to float that stuff away and gather it all up and do something with it. All of that's super important.
I remember being in Louisiana right before Hurricane Katrina, and the buildings that were there, the beautiful architecture buildings right there on the main drag right through Louisiana. It looked like they took the roofs off and they had dumped clothes because these buildings were abandoned, and you could see the clothes in the window that were just sort of like there, like somebody had just dumped them. And I said, even back then, and this was Katrina, so this is 13, 14 years ago, I said, there's got to be a way that we can start repurposing things.
Yes.
And ladies, it is your job. It's the artist's job to reflect what's going on right now.
I love that quote.
I love that quote, right? I think it was like Nina Simone or one of them.
Yeah. Well, for our listeners who are just tuning in to Viewpoint with Sita and Friends, in studio with us on the day that Dr. Martin Luther King had a dream, we have two people who not only have a dream, but they're following up on the dream. They found purpose with their lives. One such person sitting right next to me, I call her Ali Kumara. She's a local child right here from Satellite Beach and founded this nonprofit called
Young
Space
Woman
Swap. Well, you know, she grew up with my children.
I know,
and
it's
so
tough.
She's a young woman. She's beautiful. She looks like a mermaid today with her hair. She's focusing on sustainability, education, solutions to fast fashion pollution, and awareness through music and arts. And in the other chair next to her is Ellie Villaforte, and Ellie is an artist.
She's designed all kind of arts and images for Space Swap, and they also have a third partner. Her name is Shay Anderson, and she is the third founding member of Space Swap. She's not here today. She's a commercial realtor, and she's out there trying to sell stuff so she can help these two with their company. But, you know, one of the things that I also had read was the number of times that a garment is worn has declined by almost 36% in 15 years. But the average U.S. consumer throws away 81.5 pounds of clothes every year. So with Space Swap, you are helping us not to throw the clothes away, but find new meaning for them, repurpose the clothes. Let's talk a little bit about what happens when someone walks into one of your events where there's tons of clothes, tons of people, and tables where they can swap.
Absolutely. First, I wanted to touch on trends and how trends are changing currently. So I've been doing a lot of research on trends, and traditionally trends would change seasonally. So people would go and revamp their closet maybe four times a year or so. But now we're seeing something called micro trends, and that's because of TikTok, social media stars, and these trends are lasting only a couple of months. And then so the turnover rate is higher now than ever with this with fast fashion. And fast fashion is currently one of the top polluters of the environment in the entire world right now.
Right.
And so that's just a newer issue that's rising more than ever that our generation is seeing. And so that's why we're attacking this issue.
That's pretty alarming.
Yes, yeah. Very alarming.
That is actually called throwaway culture. You know, yeah. It's not just clothes. It's a lot of disposable things. We're just throwing things away. Like, it's so easy to do that. Mm-hmm. We're not thinking about that.
Well, you know, we live in a
see,
culture.
I have two closets. I've got another closet that I just can't wait for the 70s to come back into style.
Yes.
well, it's still there.
We live in a culture where people throw away. You throw away sinks, cabinets, clothing, paintings, dishes. You drive by some neighborhoods, and it's nice things that people can pick up and do something with. But it also, we see that with the elderly.
Mm-hmm.
They have the experience, and some people just don't want to be around it. It's a nice, shiny culture where when you're young and beautiful, we want you. When you get older, that's it.
Absolutely.
And it's the same thing with material things as well.
Mm-hmm.
So tell our listeners a little bit about where is the next event for Space Lab, and how is the store coming along? You wanted to have your own storefront. How is that coming along?
Yes, so all of the events at Space Swap, basically what that looks like is a big celebration of us doing our part in sustainability. We call ourselves a repurposing renaissance, meaning we're repurposing more than just clothing. We're repurposing our lives. We're repurposing so much. So that's basically what our events are for, is bringing awareness and doing a small part. But we're going to do a lot of the deeper work actually at our store space, which is going to be opening hopefully at the end of February, early March. The date has been pushed a couple times due to construction, things of that nature. But we're definitely going to have a lot more advocacy meetings at our spot talking about solutions to this whole consumerism, fast fashion culture. As well as we'll be a textile recycling location. We're working with American Textile Recycling Services out of Orlando, and they're going to drive to our spot once a week. And before we recycle our clothing, we're going to be using our clothing and repurposing sewing classes. We actually just held our very first sewing class ever,
yay,
which was a success. We made bikinis.
Yeah. Awesome. You sound like the way I was raised, because my mom would take bed sheets and make a shirt.
Yep.
They would take...
I have just the opposite. I've made quilts out of all of my running shirts when I was doing all those 5Ks.
Oh, wow.
So I had like 200 races that I had been in. So I took all the shirts and I made them into a blanket.
That's awesome.
And I'm a terrible sewer, so I don't let anybody see it because it's kind of like, not real good. But I repurposed all of it because I knew I was never going to wear them again. But I wanted those memories.
Yeah.
You know, I still wanted those.
So, Allie, what if someone have a lot of stuff at home? You're taking clothing, but you're also taking other articles as well.
Yeah, we are.
You're going to branch out into more things.
Uh-huh. We'll take whatever can be recycled. Even if we can't repurpose it in our store or resell it in our store, we are able to still recycle it. And as we get closer to opening date, we'll post exactly what those items are online.
Where is the store going to be at, the location?
So it's going to be at 14 Laurie Street, and that is right next to Savvy Vinyl Records, kind of in the Apocalypse Coffee area, Midtown Melbourne.
Yes.
Yes.
Okay,
so
good.
We'll be over there.
And so how can someone get a hold of you guys to say, listen, like I did, I called you and I said, I have all this stuff at home. Come get it. And I still have more. Do you have a phone number, a website? How can someone call you to come pick up some stuff?
So our website is spaceswapculture.org, S-P-A-C-E-S-W-A-P, culture.org. And it has all of our social media on there. We're very active on Instagram. Our Instagram is space_swap. And our shop's Instagram, which is now up and running, we haven't uploaded anything yet, but if you want to follow that journey, it's going to be at space_swap_shop.
So Ellie, you guys have to make a little money off of this. You have to have a profit. Are you partnering with anyone in the community to help Space Swap? Because this helps everyone in Brevard. By repurposing clothing, by having a place where people can go, it's an activity, a family activity, because you allow people to come with their families and their friends and their pets and everything. You're helping the community. But you also have to pay your rent. You also have bills. You have utilities. How are you guys going to be making some money off of this? Are you going to be charging an entrance fee? There's got to be some way. So help us to understand how we can help you all, because we are dreaming right along with you on Martin Luther King Day to help you to live.
Thank you. Well, we've definitely progressed a lot. We have sponsors that have been helping us, especially for our events. And eventually, the store space will help us with some of that overhead.
Okay, great.
Mm-hmm.
So you do have a website. Do you want to give us the website so people could go on it and look and see? Because there's other things to come. You're branching out now that it's three partners. You guys are branching out into other areas as well.
Yep. So we're at spaceswapculture.org.
All right, and give us your vision. What else is coming up in the future? Because besides Space Swap, that's a mouthful, you're going to be having other... I can see like a music festival in the future.
Oh, I have 300 ideas running through my head.
Yeah,
right
I
now.
Can
I'm
see.
Already there.
Yeah, yeah. So let's see. We have a few minutes left. I mean, I would think that there are more things... because we need this in this area.
Oh, yeah.
This is entertainment at its max, education, opportunities... And you're also mentoring young people as mm-hmm. you go along. So,
Sita, and I want to get to that part. I just want to say one other thing. I have a friend that recycles every time he pulls by and he sees fence panels on the side of the road. He's made every piece of furniture in his house out of off-the-road fence panels.
Hip, hip, hooray.
Cool. It's, like, amazing. And then I have another friend. Her name is Sherry Stewart. She's in Cocoa Beach. She's an artist. She looks for people's paintings. And then she paints over the paintings. Like, and absolutely. Has like an art class of just kind of making it what you wanted. You can either add to what you have, or you could totally start over and make a whole nother painting. So it's like, I know,
but
the,
that's
I know
an
your
idea
tribe.
For you guys.
Like,
but Al,
they're a little older though. They're
that,
my
that's
age.
That's an idea. But Ali, I want you to tell us what's in store.
Well, we have been having a lot of back-to-back events. Some would say almost like a drip campaign leading to the opening of our store, which will be like the grand finale. We are going to be at the Villain Surf Contest Sunday, February 5th, and we're going to be having the young women who made homemade bikinis model the bikinis, and we're going to be doing some activism there, have someone on the mic just talking about what the fast fashion industry is doing to our Indian River Lagoon. So we're always doing pop-up events between our main events, and it's hard to see a very clear image of the future, because as we progress into the future, things get, how would you describe it, like more and more clear. Mm-hmm. It's,
especially as we're collaborating with our community, a lot of like local businesses,
mm-hmm.
so much collaboration. That's the fun part about it. Like, we're just boosting each other, and like, that's what we need.
Absolutely.
Right. Well, and if somebody wanted to volunteer or get involved, do you have room for space for volunteers?
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You do?
Oh, yeah.
And so someone could call you or the website and they can volunteer with you.
Yeah.
So here's the thing. I could say that one of the things I think would be great would do a ladies' luncheon. If you like, for example, if you have someone who can get you into the country club or maybe a restaurant or something, because that bikini modeling there would be great to have at a luncheon.
They're pointing at you.
Yeah, like at a luncheon.
Well, there's only one person at this table.
At a luncheon or a fashion show.
Club.
You know what I mean?
Yes.
Because that's here in Brevard, you would find that we are very giving.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. People are very loving. People are very compassionate. And when they see two young women who are out to save the environment, repurpose clothing, give people clothes on their backs for an interview for children in school, they would help you too. So if you need ideas, I would say maybe you could do like a Facebook contest that asks people to give you ideas of what to do and take the top five and run with it. Pick a date, pick a time, pick a place, get a ticket made and go for it. I think it would be great.
And you have no idea the amount of people that you'll meet in this town. We know personally two people that are on that Below Deck show. Like personally have been on the show, we're friends with them. They would love to model bikinis. As a matter of fact, Laura is one of those people, she'll model anything. And she looks awesome. Fantastic in it, right?
So, Ali,
finding that kind of fame.
That's right. We have just 1 minute left. Mm-hmm. Leaving Los Angeles, coming home because of COVID, reconnecting with us, the people that know you when you grow up and your mom and dad. How does it feel to have found your purpose in life? For now, anyways, because you're young, you might still have more purposes to come. But for now, how does it feel to be giving back to the community that you grew up in?
I think the biggest gift that I learned is to never be afraid of anything. And I think if you have an idea or a dream and you start to run with it, it's amazing how it just starts to unfold almost better than you ever expected. And I think it's okay for dreams to change and to mourn those old dreams, but don't stay there and embrace it.
And Ellie, you're shaking your head. You're moving forward with that same thing, right?
Absolutely. Yeah. I like to think if you like raise your standards, the universe will meet you there.
Yes. Do you have a lot of support from your family members as well?
Yes, and my friends.
Yeah.
Lots of really lovely friends, and we're all on the same venture together.
Well, let us know here on Viewpoint with Sita and Friends when the events are coming up, and we will promote your events for you. And I would be one of those under five that says, have a luncheon.
Oh,
invite all the ladies in town. I mean, there are people at FIT. There's people that attend the Serene Harbor luncheons. There are the Zunta Club that does things with human trafficking.
Yes.
You network and you communicate with people and say, hey, we're doing this for this reason. And, you know, people are lacking education about the environment. Mm-hmm. Everyone talks about the Indian River Lagoon, but what are they doing for it? And that statistic you said about the fishes and the crabs and the lobsters and microplastics and everything, in lay terms, we're destroying the environment.
Yes.
So you guys are trying to help, and I think it'll be great. Give us the website one more time, and then Ellen will take it away.
spaceswapculture.org. And if you want to reach out to me personally, my email is alexandra@spaceswapculture.org. And Ellie's is ellie@spaceswapculture.org.
Fantastic interview, as well as a fantastic website. You get a lot of great, I've just kind of perused it myself. Viewpoint with Sita and Friends, another fantastic edition, Sita Begee. Thank you so much. Sorry we were late, but I'm glad everyone is safe, and happy Martin Luther King Day to everyone. Continue with those dreams. We'll see you next week right here, 1 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on 1510 WWBC.com.